Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I am Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the NAGB, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Now, don't forget, you can take us with you when you're on the move or traveling in foreign lands by live streaming us at www.guardiantalkradio.com or by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. Now, if you've been listening in to our first segment, you know that we have three amazing women in the studio with us tonight. I have Amanda Colson, Jody Minnis, and Melissa Alcina, and we've been talking about TURN. We've been talking about the art market, what it means to represent artists, and also we've been talking about Melissa's upcoming show at TURN. So very, very excited to be talking about something that's actually very timely and, you know, fairly new to this space, to this country. When you think about art as a business, when you think about artists being able to make a living from their work while living and working in the Bahamas, even if they're transitioning back and forth, when you think about galleries here who are actually representing artists and working to push them into a global market. And Amanda, you started to talk to that about, you know, it's about more than just selling 1,000 paintings, about more than just saying, okay, well, we're just gonna put a bunch of work out there and see what happens. It's really about building legacy. It's about really about who gets to see the art. It's about people around the world knowing that, hey, we have like serious artists in the Bahamas who are doing work that could be on par with any international artist, right? Which is actually, when you think about it, a new way of thinking about this space. Because I remember when I went away to school, I remember running into this Irish guy. I was like, oh yeah, I'm from the Bahamas. And he says, oh, what do y'all do down there? Do y'all like live in huts and wear grass skirts? And I was looking at him like, you got to be joking. No, we absolutely do not do that. Not quite sure what gave you that idea. But I also realized that it's really about the image that we project to the international community. So really seeing this happen, having the conversation change, like you said, Amanda, maybe when you were first coming home, people are like, oh, what do y'all do down there? Do y'all have art? Now it's like you're in New York and people are like, oh, you have a gallery in the Bahamas. Oh yeah, there's some pretty interesting art coming out of there. So it's really, really great to see that change happening as well.
Yeah, I actually just got contacted from a curator in Puerto Rico who was commissioned by Art Basel. And, you know, Art Basel is this huge art fair that happens in Basel, Switzerland, and also in Miami. In Miami, December, Basel in June. And 70, 80,000 people fly in to Miami to see this art show. It's a really big deal. And they just commissioned this curator to write a piece on the art scenes in Puerto Rico and the Bahamas. Out of all the countries in the Caribbean, our two little islands. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah, you know, so I think we can all, like all of us, you know, the current, the NAGB, Dunga Lick, you know, Contemporary Art Bahamas, 6260, like I think we can all pat ourselves on the back because it's been this community effort, you know, over 40 years, let's be honest. But I think, you know, Pop-Up, I mean, all these spaces, like with Courage, to just really build the Bahamian art scene into something, you know, really quite serious. And, you know, I traveled the region and I don't see that ecosystem in a lot of countries in our region. So I think we have a lot to be proud of, all of us, you know, you guys working at the NAGB, like everybody, you know, we've really built something. And so it's exciting to see, and it's exciting for the artists because it means they can, you know, they have this network that they can progress through. And, you know, when I started at NAGB, it was sometimes a bit frustrating because artists would come and be like, oh, I want a show at the NAGB. And I'd be, well, first of all, it's not a gallery that does that kind of thing, like sell work. But I said, you know, normally you need like a 20-year career before you end up with a national museum in any country. But then it was sort of like, where would you have that career? Because there were just, you know, really few spaces. Maybe Dunga Lick's one of the ones that's really lasted a long time. But, you know, one space cannot possibly support everything. So, I mean, now you look at what we have and there's so many, and there have been so many historically that I think now there's really the ability for young artists to start somewhere. They start the pro gallery at UB, then maybe they move to ICE, then maybe they move to, you know, they move sort of through this kind of network, 6260, the current, you know, CAD. There's all these opportunities. And I think that's, you know, that's just amazing. And I think, you know, we should really be proud of our country for that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I always tell people, you know, when I came down here in 1999 to go to COB, which is now UB, there was no National Art Gallery. There were maybe about, well, Dungalook has been around for a very long time, but there were very few venues to actually showcase your work. There was, it was really hard to figure out how to get into the art community here, to figure out how to have an art career. And every time I came back home when I was away at school, I always saw like the change that happened. Because the NAGB opened up, you know, so such a project that had started from 1996 and the doors opened in 2003. And then from there were more changes. And then suddenly we began to have some diversity in the art scene here in terms of the kind of jobs you could have. So you're going from just being from only having the opportunity to be a studio artist or an educator to being an arts administrator or an museum educator or a curator. I mean, the list goes on. So, you know, so Jody would have been coming up in the space around the time when these things were fairly new, but they were becoming very kind of cemented in this community. And Melissa, you came along a little afterwards. So, I mean, how does it feel to be a part of this growth and to be like a woman artist in this mix and seeing how many opportunities are available to you, even though there's even more that we can do, but also it's like it's very exciting to be a part of a transition that's actually coming to a point where we're becoming even more established in a space that's actually being seen as a serious art space globally.
It's really exciting because I came back home not expecting any of this, not even knowing where I was going to go or what I was even going to do. I didn't even come back home expecting to for my photography to be even a means to supporting myself in any way. So to kind of, I feel like I've been growing with kind of the uptick of all of this happening. A lot of things were established obviously before I came back home, but I think around the time that, you know, I started getting featured was around the same time that a lot of other artists were also being, you know, sought after or looking for spaces too, and things started to grow. And like Amanda said, like the current, you know, came about around a similar time, and then, you know, CAB, and like it was all happening around at the same time, and I just kind of got swept away in it. And I think it's really awesome because it didn't feel like there was an art scene as strong as there is now. Like it's insane to be able to see other artists doing so incredibly well, and I feel so proud to be able to, you know, repost things I see of, you know, other Bahamians just doing their thing. Like it's so lovely. It makes me feel very proud to be Bahamian and to be represented in the Bahamas as well, to then be seen on a global stage. Like, I think that is absolutely incredible. Like, I love it.
Yeah, and I want to give Melissa the shout out of like not only does she have this amazing artistic practice, she has a documentary practice. So she's got sort of different practices in her photography medium, but she's also like the go-to portrait artist in the Bahamas. And last week in New York, there was a Stan Burnside opening. It was a big deal, and Melissa shot him, who's like the granddaddy of the art scene. So, you know, not only are Bahamian artists kind of being shown worldwide, but Melissa is very often the photographer of choice to capture many of them. And I think that's really incredible too, Melissa, because you get this opportunity to meet and interact with all the artists. So I have a question for you because I can't stop being a host in a way. It's like, what's it like to like do those shoots? I mean, you shot Kendall Hanna, you shot Stan Burnside, you shot a lot of, what's it like? Do you when you're shooting them for the portrait, or is it just all about them, or do you try to like extract a little bit of like knowledge?
Well, the
While you're
whole,
shooting.
well, you know me well, so you know that I'm a talker. So there's not going to be any kind of session happening unless I'm having a big time conversation with a person so that I can figure out who I'm photographing and how best to represent them. And then it just becomes, you know, a melding of minds. And then the photographs just kind of pop out. And I think it's awesome. Like, you know, sometimes I photograph people and not even really truly understand their significance. Like, it's something I feel like I should be embarrassed about, but sometimes I wasn't aware. Like, there was a lot of artists that I just was not exposed to. I wasn't learning about it in school. So I had to learn when I came back home. And it just happened
very organically. And so I end up developing like friendships with a lot of people that I end up, you know, photographing and having even, you know, stronger respect for them based on who they are as a person, on top of the fact that they're incredible artists. So it only deepens my respect for them individually as well.
And, you know, Melissa, but that makes so much sense, right? You think about what it means to do something more than just take a picture, right? And I think there was a, I think it's said or it's written somewhere, I've read it or heard it, that, you know, when you think about capturing an image of somebody, it's like you're capturing a piece of their soul. I mean, I think that's a belief. But you can't really do that if you don't know the person you're capturing in some way in that moment, or even you think about which, how you want to see them as well, right? So even when you think about painting someone, like sculpting someone, you are capturing them in that moment, but also you're capturing more than just your image, you're capturing who they are. So whatever medium you choose, at the end of the day, you do need to get to know your subject, right? And you find, do you find that by the time you finish having these conversations, getting to know a bit more about your subjects, do you find that the way you choose to photograph them changes?
Well, the conversations are usually happening as I'm taking pictures, and it's kind of like a warm-up situation. You know, mm-hmm. I start getting to know them. I give them a piece of who I am as well. Like, you know, I'm sure people, everyone has their own style, but specifically when it comes to photographing Bahamians, like our own people, I personally have spent more time trying to make sure I'm doing everybody justice. Like, it just feels like I have to do it. And so you can't just come in my opinion, and just decide how you're going to portray somebody and they're vulnerable. Like, I feel like that's so uncomfortable. It's so weird, right? Like, how are you going to take a picture that's supposed to show the world an aspect of who I am when you don't even know me and you just met me? So, you know, it's kind of like part of my due diligence to just get to know them, chitty chat. And, you know, when you start talking to a person, you they give you a bit of themselves, you kind of feel like, okay, I kind of know a little bit about you too, now I can relax. And then you watch the person's face change, kind of like if you ever saw a picture of a person before and you didn't know who they were, and when you meet them and they start talking, they look completely different, not because the photo wasn't accurate, but now you see the soul behind the face. It's like the same thing starts happening when I'm taking a picture of anybody who I'm meeting for the first time. And so by the end of the session, when I'm going back to my computer and I'm looking at the photos, you see the progression of the face they chose to put on and then the face that they let me see by the end of it. And that those images are the ones that I end up then focusing on editing. And they mold like 9 times out of 10, because you can't be perfect, but 9 times out of 10, people seem to be happy with their image. And then I feel like, okay, now I can be happy about the job.
Right, right. Yeah, it really is complicated. You know, you think about, because what you're describing is essentially what it means to meet somebody for the first time and then get to know them. And by the time you get to know them, the way you see them changes. So you could go from being like, oh, that person's really beautiful, to, oh, you know, they're kind of okay because their personality was not something that really excited you, or you were, or you realize that their looks, their personality does not match their looks. Or it could be the opposite, right? You'd be like, oh, that person's okay. And by the time you get to know them, they're like, oh, they're beautiful. He or she is a beautiful person. And it's very much the same thing you're describing through your photography, right? And I feel like that's just like a human condition. It's like a person is more than just their physical appearance. And to be able to capture that, I think, in any kind of imagery is pretty amazing. And I think it also speaks to how people view, how we view others over time. Like, you know, like 100 years from now, when somebody sees this photo, what are they going to see? And how will they perceive this image? And then will they see what you wanted them to see, or what you had seen at that point in time, or hope to convey? So yeah, it gets very complicated. And I see Jody has her hand up. And Jody, hold that thought. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. Thank you to everybody who's been listening in. Please come back right after these messages and let your friends know they should come and join the conversation too. They just need to tune into 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.